What's up, y'all?
My future isn't determined by where I currently reside. Understanding your worth will put pride in your stride. I'm accountable to my call. There's no compromise. I set my own bar, and you better know it's set high.
It's giving what it's supposed to give. Ooh, stop playing with them. It's the last day of Black History Month, but no need to fret because we celebrate Black History all year long. But before we get into it, what's up, y'all? It's your girl, Dashari. Welcome back to another episode of It's a Perspective. This year is already feeling like it's moving quickly, so I hope we are staying consistent and bettering ourselves daily, even if that's drinking our water and minding our business. As I stated, it's the last day of Black History Month, but it's not the end of celebrating Black people collectively. So make sure you continue to buy Black and support the Black community and culture. For our Black History Moment, I want to acknowledge Ottawa W. Gurley. Just around the start of the 20th century, O.W. Gurley, a wealthy African-American landowner from Arkansas, traversed the United States to participate in the Oklahoma land run of 1889. In 1906, Gurley moved to Tulsa, where he purchased 40 acres of land, which was only to be sold to the colored. Black ownership was unheard of at that time. Of the 32 Black townships that were established in America after the Civil War, 28 of them were in Oklahoma before it even became a state. Gurley, one of Tulsa's earliest pioneers, named the Greenwood District. In the first two decades of the 20th century, Tulsa transformed from a dusty frontier into a thriving metropolis. Gusher after gusher was discovered, and the city soon became the oil capital of the world, and Gurley's Greenwood began to boom with it. By 1920, a walk through Black Wall Street meant traversing more than 35 bustling city blocks, with the locus being the intersection of Greenwood Avenue and Archer Street. O.W. Gurley built an empire of African-American businesses in Tulsa, though it all came burning down in the massacre of 1921. New generations of entrepreneurs rose from the ashes. It was stated by James O. Goodwin, quote, "The significant thing about Greenwood is it was not just a Black thing. It was a quintessential America," end quote. With that being said, as a native to Oklahoma, the amazement I hold for not only Mr. Gurley, but to have a historical landmark such as Black Wall Street in Oklahoma symbolizes more than just Black power, but Black excellence at the highest level gives me so much pride. To Mr. Gurley, we honor you for your life, and I say thank you to your contribution you've made to the community and culture, because you give Black people like me hope to shoot for the moon, because even if tragedy happens, as the massacre was a tragedy, which we never hope to have, we still can land among the stars like you did with building history. Your legacy definitely lives on. So, you know I have a segment on my show called That's My Jam. This is a part of the show where you can play a mantra or a song you can't resist jamming, dancing, or singing to. With that being said, this is the last day in February. Y'all know I have to end with a banger. Here's this week's jam.
In the Ferrari, my favorite's God and tax problems. Pierre Moss, I dropped 10 on my last visit. And half that up at Saks, our favorite Black businesses. Assuming I'm rooting for everybody that's Black. Yeah. Assuming I'm rooting for everybody that's Black. Yo. Look. Assuming I'm rooting for everybody that's Black. Spent about 2 racks on handmade new rags. Assuming I'm rooting for everybody that's Black. That's everybody from sports to college class to rap and back.
Man, this song truly explains itself. But let me say, I'm rooting for everyone. But if you are anything like me, you already know, even if it's the smallest things like watching a game show, I'm going to be honest and tell you, I'm rooting for everybody that's black. Hopefully, you won't blame me. I just feel that's a part of the camaraderie that black people have. But y'all get the gist. So let's get into it. I want to give you a little story time. So as a little kid, I'm still pretty young, so it's weird to say that. But anywho, you never know why repetition is so important until the skill, or in my case, the words you need, come to you without the need for you to rack your brain. So every day, from the time I was in about kindergarten to probably fifth grade, my mom used to drop me and my brother off to school. My dad used to drop us off as well. And I think it's important to mention, yes, I have a two-parent household with two present parents who are very active in my life. Okay, so back to the story. My mom used to drop me and my brother off at school every day. And she'd simply say, "If you don't know," and our response would be, "Ask questions." Simple enough, you say, right? Same thing I was thinking. But this simple phrase transcended far beyond the grasp of my little brain at the time. And it still amazes me to know that it's something that I hold close to me and I hope to pass down to my kids. Why, may you ask? Because oftentimes the mere encouragement to ask a question could be the difference in your understanding. My dad is a man who pays attention to details. He likes to say, "Do it right or you do it twice." I believe there is an importance to words and phrases that go far beyond the scope of what the person is really trying to tell you. Words are powerful, and I think it's important to understand that. So when I say be consistent, are you consistently telling yourself good things, or are you consistently downing yourself? Because knowingly or unknowingly, we are building repetition for our thoughts or actions that could arise in the future, whether that is tomorrow or in 6 months. Take for instance, how am I able to recall the thing in which my mom told me years ago? Because it's ingrained. So my question to you is, what repetition are you building in your life? Are you ingraining bad talk or bad actions consistently? Or are you speaking life, praying, and doing daily affirmations? If I could really challenge you and ask, what is your environment like and your support system? You can answer that for yourself, but listen, I'm not going to jump off in your business because guess what? It starts with you. You have to want to have repetition that produces success, to have a mindset of being uplifted, to have a spirit of joy. Build a resistance-proof mindset to self-doubt, to feeling lack, because you are enough. I'm telling you, if you build yourself up right now, you won't have to pick up the broken pieces later. Do it right the first time so you don't have to do it twice. I need y'all to go listen to this song. It's called "Encourage Yourself" by Sherry Jones Moffett. All right, y'all. Before we get out of here, y'all already know, we got mail. This is from Lisa. She says, quote, "Dishari, It's a Perspective is one of my go-to podcast shows. The conversations that you have are really great. I want to just say, I'm listening from Dallas. Keep up the great work because they are needed," end quote. Thank you so much, Lisa. I am super honored to know that I am one of your go-to shows. Listen, thank you so much for tuning in. I can't express the gratitude I have for all of you who are listening. I'm just going to be honest. This is only the beginning. So I need y'all to stay locked in. If you'd like to be featured on the We Got Mail segment of the show, email at itsaperspective@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow at itsaperspective on Instagram. Thank y'all so much for all of the love and support. Stay tuned because more is definitely to come. I love y'all so much. Peace.